your listeners. It is the great, the one and only Mike Garofolo. We are reunited NFL Network. It's back, Hartley and Hartley Insurance, and also Zogs on Fox Island. Look at you. First time we've done this on a video. God, you are good looking. I tell you this all the time, but you are a handsome, handsome man, sir.
So now I got to be decent when we do these things, and I can't be indisposed, basically. Like, that's how this is going to be.
I'd like you to be fully clothed if we can manage it. I would like to see an appearance. My hope is at some point that when you're doing this, because you're busy all over the place, that when you're at the park with Carmen, that we get that. Because I you know, over the years on the radio, it's been so hectic with you in the background with what she's doing, and someone's chasing her down and you're chasing her down. I want to see you actually have to physically chase her around. Where are we finding you today?
We are in Palm Beach, Florida, my mother-in-law's place. Yeah, this is not my taste in art right here that you got going on behind me necessarily. My wife is more of an abstract art person. I like things. I like, you know, so I don't even know what's happening here. If that's, I know there's one over here that supposedly is Carl, but this would not be my call. There is a beautiful balcony. About 6 feet to my right, Carmen and Vivian are sitting out there, as is my wife. There's palm trees in the background. There's water. There's blue sky. There's great visibility. And yet when I walked out there, she looked at me and goes, "Gonna take the call from out here?" And I go,
we're enjoying our vacation like you're supposed to be enjoying your vacation.
No. You kicked me off the balcony. Now you're going to come in and interrupt us?
You can do the show anywhere you want. See, this is a marriage. I love a partnership in a marriage because it's us really taking a beating, is it not? All right, it really is.
That's what we do. That's what we do.
Well, I appreciate you doing this. I'm so lucky to have you on. One of the things when I left radio, I really wanted to make sure that you and I would continue to do this. So it's awesome that you've agreed to do it. And I appreciate you taking time out of your vacation. We'll do it every Thursday. Mike Garofolo, NFL Network, brought to you by Hartley and Hartley Insurance, family-owned, second-generation, independent insurance agency. It's been serving the Puget Sound area since 1978. They promise honesty, fairness, integrity, and a tee time. Contact Jamie Hartley, 253-565-8700. Also, Zogs on Fox Island. Great place to grab a cold beer, watch the game, hang out with friends. New spring and summertime hours at Zogs, Monday through Thursday, 3 to 10 p.m., Friday and Saturday, 12 to 10, and Sunday, 12 to 9 p.m. Visit Zogs on Fox Island on Facebook for more information. We'll be doing this all year long because the NFL, as you know, Mike, it does not take a break. It is as busy as it has ever been. And including, as we are taping this today, news coming down, Stephon Diggs traded to the Houston Texans. And boy, the Texans are making themselves a sneaky, not even sneaky, a really fun and exciting football team. What went down with that trade? Why was that necessary for the Texans to get Diggs?
It's weird timing for a trade like this to happen. I mean, it's usually around the start of the league year, or it's around the draft, or even during the draft or after the first round of the draft. So this is kind of that in-between time where you very rarely see something like this go down. But, you know, you go back over the last 12 months of Stephon Diggs being a Buffalo Bill, and it all kind of pointed toward – I honestly thought this was coming, like I said, a couple of weeks ago, at the start of the league year, even before the start of the league year. You look at everything that transpired back to that weird mini-camp where Sean McDermott said he was very concerned about Stephon Diggs not – participating in their mandatory minicamp, which I guess was in or was it OTAs? It was May or June, and it carried on into the training camp, into the start of the regular season, and then down the stretch, the way his production really tailed off, and the way that they used him and just didn't give answers for it, and it just everything seemed like it was pointing toward him not being a Buffalo Bill. I remember asking Josh Allen about it at the Super Bowl when I had him down for a sit-down interview. And, you know, his thing was we have unfinished business, and, you know, he tries to block out the noise. Because if you start to, you know, that's why I found it funny. When the trade went down, everybody said, oh, look at what he tweeted last night. Look at what he tweeted last night. Look at what he tweets every single day. You start reading into everything he's posting, it'll drive you crazy because you think, oh, man, I want you. And I can't tell you how many false alarms that we've chased when it comes to Stephon Diggs and what he's putting out there. So I thought this would be something we would revisit, among other things, as we get closer to the draft, or before it to happen now in Buffalo moving on. I like the compensation they got back for it. I don't know how many more productive years he has left. And combine that with everything you have to put up with Stephon Diggs, I'm good with them moving on. And I'm good with Houston saying, hey, we're going to make a run for it while we can, because we've got that quarterback on the rookie contract. You see that so often. When a guy plays well as a rookie, mm-hmm. try to hit that window, try to be competitive in the first couple of years.
We're going to get into all the Seahawks offseason moves. One move that they just made here recently, Laviska Shenault. He'll be it's a familiar name out here, like in the Pac-12 country, because, of course, he played collegially at the University of Colorado. Shenault, why was that a good move for Seattle? Why was that kind of something they were looking for? Receiver didn't seem to be kind of top-of-the-radar move here for Seattle. Why did he end up there?
He only had, 10 catches last year, I believe. Yeah. So it's to me, more of a returner thing they're going to try to tap into. And I love that. I mean, I love the fact that the change in the rule has brought the returner back. I mean, Cordarrelle Patterson, his agent was sitting – now, he had other business to attend to. He represents a lot of coaches and general managers, so he had other business to attend to at the league meetings. But he was sitting in the lobby. I remember talking to him, and we were talking about Patterson. He says, yeah, hopefully in a couple of hours we'll get the green light and be able to kind of negotiate this thing. And I couldn't believe how quickly it came together. As a matter of fact, Omar Khan came to our site on site. And he was waiting to do the interview because he thought we were moments away from the signing going down. And then sure enough, he finally said, "Nah, this is not going to happen. Let's do the interview." And making sure it wasn't going to air long story short, he wound up signing a couple of hours later. And it just showed you the importance of the returner. And so the Seahawks seeing a guy in Laviska Shenault who, you know, a lot of times you get a signing like this, and I asked right away, I said, what's the connection here? Is there somebody on staff that he worked with? And he said, no connection. They just kind of like his film from time to time and feel like it's somebody that they could deploy as part of the return game and maybe even work him into the offense as well. I thought this guy was going to have a breakout year a couple of years ago. Just hasn't really happened for him. And who knows, maybe a fresh start on the other side of the country gets it done.
Mike Garofalo is with us. It's all brought to you by Hartley & Hartley Insurance, family-owned second-generation independent insurance agency, and also Zogs on Fox Island. Grab a cold beer, watch the game, hang out with friends there at Zogs on Fox Island. More information on their Facebook page. Let's go to the rule changes, because I agree with you. Now that you kind of, you know, 1 + 1 = 2, Shenault and the return game, I think on the surface when the rule changes came out on the kickoff and I looked at it, I'm like, oh, this looks stupid. I mean, it just doesn't look like football. And then, though, as kind of the days passed and I thought about it more and about the returns and kind of watched more videos from – it was the XFL that did it, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. It kind of grew on me, and I'm with you. I think one thing that's been lost, I think, in the game in the last few years – is the return. God, no one returns the football anymore, and it's not fun. I like a good kickoff return. It's exciting. It's one of the more exciting plays, I think, in football when a guy can house the thing. So ultimately, I think most fans are going to agree this is a good move. Do you like it?
I do like it. And I go back to, I believe it was like 5-6 years ago. You'd have the touchdown, the extra point, go to commercial, come back, kick off into the end zone, touchback, go to commercial again. And they eliminated that second commercial. I remember Roger Goodell talking about it at a league meeting or a Super Bowl press conference, basically saying, he hates that couple of breaks, commercial breaks as well. So they got rid of that. And then it was like, well, the kick return itself, or the kickoff itself, I should say, especially when they went back to the Super Bowl and they said there were 12 or 13 kickoffs in the Super Bowl and no returns. It was basically just this, you know, ceremonial type play, as they called it. So I'm good with that. And this is something I interviewed John Mara at the league meeting when this was going down. And I said, John, we've been doing these interviews since 2006, I want to say, when I wrote a story on how to make the kickoff safer. And that back then it was eliminating the wedges, take out the run up and all these things, which wound up happening. So, you know, I'm okay with it because the kickoff has changed anyway, right? It's not like it's been this stagnant play. It's kind of sort of evolved, and if they've taken out that runoff and found ways to make it safer. But then I remembered, I said to John back in 2012, there was a game, David Wilson was their first round pick as a running back, and he had to retire because of a neck injury, but it was his second or third year. And he took two to the house, I think, against the Saints, and he had a couple other long kickoff returns. And I said, you know, here's John Mara as a member of the competition committee trying to figure out a way to make the game or the play safer, maybe even eliminate it. And yet here it was, a play that really helped him win a game. And him as a – he's done a good job, John, has of being a traditionalist. I know he's thought of in that way because he's a bridge to the past of the NFL, Wellington Mara and that era of the NFL. But he also understands the need for change. And so – he had company on that, and he was able to help make it happen. I think he was a big key to it because he has a way of reaching those traditionalists while also being open to the ideas of the modern NFL, what needs to happen. So, yeah, I'm good with it. I'm fascinated to see how special teams guys are going to defend this thing, because if you've got a line of guys, you know, how do you make sure that it's not just, well, you beat one guy, you're gone. Do some of your guys peel off? Do you have some kind of formation, or do you have, you know, what, depending on what side the ball goes to, these other guys got to, it's going to be fascinating to watch that chess match as we start here.
What do you make of them getting banning the hip drop tackle, you know, where you tackle a guy and then, you know, you prevent, you know, all your dead weight coming down on him. How hard do you think for officials is that going to be to enforce? I mean, do you think it's just going to be easy, clear cut? I mean, nothing ever feels clear cut with any rule, but that one and how you enforce it and how you actually police it, do you think there'll be a challenge to that?
Yeah, there's no question, because there's still a regular hip drop tackle that is legal. You got the swivel hip drop tackle, which they've, it's funny. They had a conference call the week before the league meeting and nobody used the word swivel. They were using hip drop tackle. And all of a sudden we get down to Orlando and Rich McKay says, you know, I want to emphasize the swivel hip drop tackle. And I don't know if it was something where they just didn't communicate it properly or somebody came back and said, hey, guy, you got to emphasize it's not all hip drop tackles, because if you're behind a guy and you grab him and you pull him to the ground and he comes down with you as you fall to the ground, okay, that's legal. Whereas the, you know, kind of grab him and jump up and wheel your head. You've seen it before. You wheel your legs around and then you're bringing the guy down. You know, that's the one that they're going to be looking for. And it's almost kind of a, you know it when you see it. And they did have that footage that they showed while Rich McKay was talking at the league meeting. It was up on the monitor and some people tweeted it out. And I thought there were a couple that were absolutely clear cut. And I thought there were a couple in there where I was like, I didn't see a swivel. I didn't see a lift up body weight drop there. That looked like a regular one to me. So if I can't figure that out based on that, I think it's going to be tough for the officials in real time. And I think that they have made it clear. I know they've made it clear. You know, they're going to be missed, and then we're going to find these guys, and you're going to find out about the fines, and everybody's going to say, are you kidding me? It's just a regular – no, that's what we're trying to eliminate. So by their count, and I think this is key. I keep emphasizing this, because if this is the case, this will alleviate one of the worries I think people have, which I sort of had, was are there going to be flags flying all over the place? Well, they said there was only, to their count, 230 – in what, 272 games? What's the number? So there's less than one per game that should have been penalized last year. So at least there won't be flags all over the place. I think it's just going to be a little bit difficult sometimes when the announcer says, hey, that was one that should have been called, or you see the fine later on. People are going to say, well, we're having trouble officiating this in real time.
That's the voice of Mike Garofalo with us again here from the NFL Network, all brought to you by Hartley and Hartley Insurance and Zogs on Fox Island. He's in Florida. He's got a wonderful painting behind him. If you're watching this at PuckSports.com, if you're listening, you just got to take our word for it. It's beautiful. It really fits into the Garofalo image, whatever that is.
What do you think it is? I don't know. Jungle.
I'm thinking jungle. I don't know.
Just looking for a Flora Fung. Flora Fung, 1997. It looks like that's what that says. Flora Fung. I'll have to Google that while I'm answering. Yeah. Well, I'll give you my next answer. See if
the deadline. Should they have gone further into the season with the trade deadline? Do you like where it's at?
Football's a lot harder to make these trades in season. It's been more active the last couple of years. I think you're getting general managers who are more willing to give up draft picks. I always laugh at this. It's like they don't want to give up their draft picks because, oh boy, I need that fifth rounder because I'm going to draft a guy there and I'm going to turn him into a Pro Bowler because nobody drafts like I can draft. That's how they all think, right? Whereas some guys now have been more willing, whether it's the analytics of breaking this thing down and seeing how these guys actually contribute and saying, Well, it's not a sure thing. We could trade for a sure thing. So it's been more active. I think it's fine where they've got it now. They moved it back a week because they adjusted for the 17th week of the schedule. They had already moved it back. This is something where it used to be incredibly early in the season, and then we saw no action. You know, the later you get, the more you're having teams potentially sell off, which they don't want. They want these teams to be – you know, last year, the Panthers were trying to add at the trade deadline. They were trying to trade for a wide receiver. So even the teams in the NFL that are out of it are not, like, selling off like you see in baseball. Mm-hmm. And, again, I go back to the C.J. Stroud, Stephon Diggs thing. You got a guy that hit as a rookie. That's a quick turnaround. If you can get that quarterback right, it's not like it's a long – rebuilding process, like you need to restock the minor league. So I think it's fine where it is. These people bellyaching, it needs to move further back. I don't think you need that in your stretch run. You're fine. I'm fine where it is.
The challenge. You win a challenge, you get a third challenge.
Yeah.
Necessary. Good.
Yeah,
I love it. Why? Why don't I like it? You want it? You want it to be more penal.
Yes, and I love the idea of, like, if you get two, you're good on the third one. Also, yeah. They're correcting so many these days without having to review anyway. Like, why right. you should be more judicious when it comes. I saw that's the only one that these rule changes that happened in the league meeting. I'm like, okay. That one, I was like, I didn't see the need for that one.
Yeah. Okay. I don't think we've talked. I was off the air for a while. I don't think we've talked since the Seahawks acquired Sam Howell. I'm pretty sure. Maybe we did.
It was definitely yes. It was definitely. After, yeah, we have not discussed
okay.
that.
Okay, so how'd that come together? Why did they identify Sam Howell? Because I think the reaction in Seattle was, all right, well, this immediately now removes them from going out and drafting a quarterback in the draft. Do you see it that same way?
They like him a lot. They like him a lot. Now, they were nosing around some other guys.
Ooh, do tell.
Justin Fields. They put out some feelers to see what would happen there. Who's the other one? I think they were. Is there another quarterback traded? Who am I missing? Kenny Pickett? I don't think so. That happened after Sam Howell. I know for sure that they had just had some feelers, but at the time, and this is why I couldn't believe that the Bears settled as quickly as they did. At the time, the asking price was incredibly high, and teams were like, nah. And I know the Seahawks were kind of in the mix, and at that point, they shifted to Sam Howell, and they outbid the Rams, who I know that there was a strong feeling on the Rams coaching staff that they wanted Sam Howell badly. They really liked him. So the Seahawks were able to outbid them. So that's good. You got him. You also kept him away from a team that really could have used him as a potential successor there. So who else? One of the team was in on – Philly was for a minute was in on Sam Howell, but realized that he was unlikely to be traded within the division. So there were a lot of teams that were after Sam Howell. I know that for a fact. And it seemed to me it was down to the Rams and the Seahawks, and Seattle had gone strongly and said that we've made our best push. This is as good as we're going to go, and eventually the Commanders realized this is the best way for us to get the best compensation back. So they moved Howell to Seattle. And, yeah, I think he's got a chance to, you know, make a statement here, maybe have some competition, see what he can do if he gets a shot, like Drew Lock kind of did at some point due to injury or whatever. I think he could impress and he could make a statement for the long haul.
But you don't think it necessarily closes a door if they want to address quarterback in the draft?
No, I don't think any of these things kind of do, unless it's that kind of trade where you go, okay, they gave up, whether it's, you know, a Russell Wilson type deal where you go, okay, they gave up way too much. Something like this, when you're talking about draft pick compensation later, if something presents itself, it doesn't preclude them from taking a quarterback. But, you know, they've been in no rush. I kind of like the approach, you know. Mm-hmm. These quarterbacks, there haven't been a lot of sure things. And even when there have been, it's tough to get up to where you need to get up to. Like if Caleb Williams, the Bears were not going to move off of number one. They were infatuated with Caleb Williams. He's going to wind up being the guy there. So, you know what? Do what you can. Be competitive. And then when you finally find a shot to strike, whether it's the trade market or a free agent or eventually in the draft where you can get up, then you make it happen.
Yeah. The speaking of Russell Wilson, I've been kind of off the radar here a little bit, okay? I know where he stop shaking your head.
Doing? Okay. No, what are they doing?
Has he come up with a catchphrase? Has he? Does anyone know? Is it like, you know,
grab your hard hats, something like
grab
that.
Grab hard hat or, you know, let's.
What's the
iron sharpens iron? Or what? No, come on, he's got to have
steel,
something.
Yeah.
Anything from Flashdance that we could use? Because remember, she
was that Pittsburgh.
Yeah, she worked in the iron industry. She was a dancer by night. And
was that she worked? Was steel. She worked hard for the money. Was that that movie or was it the same movie?
For the money. Yeah, I think so.
I don't know. It was. God, well, I know.
I had the biggest crush on Jessica Biel. Oh my god.
No, what's her name?
Biggest crush.
Jessica Biel. Jessica Biel is Justin Timberlake's wife.
Oh, who am I? Her name? Wait a minute. Hold on now. I thought it was Jessica Biel. Hold on. Flash dance. Actress.
You're close. It's Jessica something or
yeah. Jennifer Beals.
Jennifer Beals. Jennifer Beals. You were in the ballpark.
Oh man, that look with the sweater off the shoulder. Oh,
yeah. What's the song? I'm jumping now, but what's the song that he used? It's the Steelers fourth quarter song. It's Sticks. Is it Sticks?
Did he use that in a post?
Yeah, and it was his video.
Oh,
the
video. Yeah. Oh, Jesus.
Hold on. Renegade. It's Renegade, right?
Okay. So he doesn't have a catchphrase yet. Do we don't know that?
I didn't. Not that I'm aware of. Has he had a press conference? I don't know. But that video with him with the shades and working out wherever he was with the palm trees, like he's just never gonna stop being him. Now, look, I say what are they doing? I like Justin Fields. Sorry, my hands get cramping now. I don't have my tripod. You're good.
I know. We've had you long enough. You are an athlete whose hand is cramping by holding a phone.
Well, I haven't worked out since I've been down here, so this is the best I can do. You know, I like Justin Fields to a certain extent, and I'd be okay with him in certain scenarios where you got an established starter and somebody he can learn from. But, like, what's he going to learn from Russ? You got two incomplete guys that you're trying to shoehorn in here. I don't get the plan. I don't think it works incredibly well with what Arthur Smith wants to do offensively. I don't know what the hell the plan is. And this is one of those where, like, well, it's the Steelers. They're going to find a way to go 9-8.
Right.
I'm not so sure this time around. This might be my stop, folks.
Yeah, and the thing is he doesn't, and Russell doesn't come across as a guy that is willing to be the, like Roethlisberger wasn't, right? I mean, that was a big deal. He didn't want to groom anybody. I don't think he wants to groom Justin Fields and help him out. I don't think he's going to be like a dick to him and like be rude to him, but I also don't think he's going to be like this.
What'd you say?
Welcoming. Wait. A dick.
So We can start doing that here, huh?
Yeah. You can say whatever you want. I haven't swore yet. I don't really think that's a swear word, but that's by as close as I've gotten. I mean, 22 years of radio. You were in radio. I am so conditioned not to say anything wrong. So, do you think he'll be welcoming to him?
In his own way, right? But he's also not the kind of guy who I don't know what this come off the wrong way.
No, please.
I've said so many things about Russell. I don't think it matters. He's not the kind of guy that I want to be the mentor either, right? Like Sean Payton was livid last year with the way that Russ was running the offense or lack of running the offense, and he doesn't strike me as the most. I mean, he's made it this far in his career. He knows how to play the quarterback position, but like he doesn't strike me as the kind of guy that I'm like, oh. Boy, show him all the ways of doing things in the NFL and the way that – that's not Russ to me. So, I don't get it. I don't get the whole thing.
Yeah. All right. I got to end on this, and I'll cut you loose. Enjoy your time down there in West Palm Beach. Please tell me that, like, Mike McDonald is just saying this because he wants to say it and just to say, I don't want to shut the door on anyone. Please say that the Seahawks are not going to bring Jamal Adams back. Please tell me that. Please tell me this is just
I would find that incredibly – I don't know. I'd find that incredibly hard to believe. There's just been so much –
That they would bring him back.
That they would bring him back, yeah. Okay. I mean, McDonald's like, that's going to be my patented answer this way. When we are interested, I'll say the same thing as when we're not interested. This way we're not crapping on any players and we leave ourselves open. So it's not like people are going to say, well, you said you weren't going to bring them back. So that'd be my guess. And he's not the kind of guy that I think signs before, I don't know, week one, right? Like, what's what would be the rush for any team to bring him in? So he could be a free agent for quite some time.
Okay. All right. Enjoy your time there in West Palm Beach. I've taken up too much of it here, there on your family vacation in Florida. I want to thank you again. I want our listeners to just understand this. You have been a rock star to me. You've treated me so great over the years. And so this new venture, I appreciate it. I appreciate it, your loyalty and your friendship. Thank you. Next time we're in a pandemic, I'll send you a yeast. Or whatever we can do, but I will send you more gifts of cigars and booze anytime you would like. All right. I appreciate it, Mike. Thank you so much.
That was a great couple of sentences you strung together there. I wasn't going to stop you there. That was a bunch of compliments and gifts. I'm like, where the hell else is this going to go right here? So, listen, I allow me to say that, you know, I got to know Jim via the show. Yeah. Which I still haven't texted him, but I'm glad to hear you say he's coming back. This way I'll be like, well, I didn't text you because you're not dead yet, right? Yeah. Once you're dead, officially, then I'll text you and be like, happy right off into the
sunset. He's got the best life in the world. He's on vacation for a few months collecting money, and then he gets to come back, and he's sitting there in Bend, Oregon. This guy's got the best gig in the world right now.
Exactly. And I don't know how far, honestly, your relationship with him goes back, but the way that you stood up for him and made the decision that was the right decision in your mind. And I know that Jim made it clear that he told you, don't worry about me, you know, make the best decision for you. And you said that just doesn't feel right. So I can appreciate that. And I can love you for that. And I know Jim does as well. So congratulations on the new venture, but also congratulations on having something that a lot of people don't have these days anymore, which is morals. Okay. Mm-hmm. So good for you, Puck.
I appreciate it. There he is, Mike Garofalo, every Thursday, brought to you by Hartley and Hartley Insurance. Also, Zogs on Fox Island. Check it up at PuckSports.com, YouTube, Apple, Spotify, Amazon Music. All right, my friend, until next week, okay?
You got it, pal.
There he is, Mike Garofalo, wrapping up here at PuckSports.com. We'll talk to you tomorrow. As always, we promise to be better.
No shirt, no shoes, no ties.
Would anybody like to smoke some pot?
I was born to love you. I was born to lick your face. I was born to rub you. But you were born to rub me first.
What do you need my address for?
We'd like to send out a mailer.
Mother of mercy, I don't speak Japanese!